of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he shall say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. I think we've all heard that phrase, the just shall live by faith. And we probably associate it more with the New Testament than we do the Old Testament, because it's in three different places in the New Testament. First of all, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And of course, that chapter, it's dealing with the important message of the gospel, not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but declaring it. And Romans 1 and 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Of course, the Apostle Paul is referring to the text that we read there from the book of Habakkuk. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It was just describing the fact that twofold, that you come to the Lord and you're saved because you reach out in faith to Jesus Christ. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, you understand that by faith you live. You live every day of your life. That's your survival. Is as a Christian, you're saved by faith. And then after you're saved, you live by faith. And every day of your life is expression of your confidence in God. Galatians 3 is another place where the just shall live by faith is mentioned. Galatians 3 and 11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In Galatians, it's describing and explaining for us there the importance that we can't be saved by the law, by obedience to the law. You can't be saved by your own works or your own goodness, your own morality. None of those things are enough for you to be saved. You are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And then you go from faith to faith. That means that the Christian life is a walk. You're progressing. You go from one faith experience to the next faith experience. Faith to faith to faith to faith. And the longer you serve the Lord, the more you understand what it is every day to walk by faith. The other place is in Hebrews 10 and 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. This is the last verse. And then verse 39 is the last, very last verse of chapter 10 before it moves right into that faith chapter, Hebrews 11, where it describes what faith is and how that every great patriarch, every great man and woman of God, they lived every day of their life by faith. Amen. So this kind of a life is important. And faith is important. Your confidence in God is important. The dependability of God, the truth of His Word, the promises of God, all of these things are essential to your daily life and your daily experience in faith. Now, these verses are all describing the New Testament covenant, the new covenant, whereby we enter into salvation by faith. And in the Old Testament, it was going through all the ritual and all of the sacrifices and all of the law of God, the keeping of the law. All of that was essential to their understanding of faith. But now in the new covenant, we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, and whereby we know Him, and every day of our life we live because we are confident in His promise. We're confident in His Word. So what I'd like to just
describe for you here this morning is that the Habakkuk had a vision that was not an Old Testament vision, but somehow he caught sight of a new covenant vision. He saw the promise of God. Now you would think, my, the promises of God, how wonderful that they are. Isn't it wonderful that someone like Habakkuk can have such a vision and live by faith? But in reality, Habakkuk was living in one of the most difficult times in the history of the people of God. In Judah, it was a terribly difficult time. And it was a time of God's pronouncement of judgment upon them for all of the wickedness and the things that they were doing. This was 600 years before Christ, 600 years before the new covenant. And we understand the reason that Habakkuk entered into this understanding or this revelation is because he put his trust in God in the midst of bad circumstances. Amen. You have to back up to the first chapter of Habakkuk to really get a little insight into what's going on in his life. See, he was a prophet, and out of all the other 12 minor prophets, he's a little different in that the other prophets, they were speaking for God, like they in God's stead to the people. But the prophet Habakkuk is different in that he's really speaking from the perspective of the people, as one of the people, and speaking on their behalf, the remnant, the few that were trusting and believing in God and helping them to understand what's going on. It starts off here in this book of Habakkuk where it describes the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. You see, this prophet, he could see what was happening. He could see the general direction, the evil that had pretty much taken control of the people and of the nation. And as a result of that, he was burdened. He was concerned. The burden as a response to what he did see. We have a choice today in the world we live in. You can close your eyes and ignore everything that's going on around you, or you can take notice and you can see world conditions. You can see the condition of the church. You can see the condition of half-heartedness and backslidden and a whole generation that's disinterested in the things of God. You can ignore it. You can excuse it. Or you can be like the prophet Habakkuk. You can see it and you can allow it to affect you. And I think that's exactly the way it should be. We should be like the prophet Habakkuk, that we sense it, we see it, we feel it, and we're not ignoring it, but we understand the circumstances that are going on around us. And he asks some questions. The first one that he asks is, Lord, how long? You see, he's a prophet who's crying out to God. He's asking God to save the people. And he's asking God to come to their rescue and to help them in the circumstance that they're in. But then he says in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry? How long shall I cry? You know that many times we have difficulty, but we want to put our lives and our time frame into God's schedule. I mean, God has a program and a plan that's beyond anything we can understand, or we don't really comprehend his ways or what he's doing. And that's where it requires faith. Faith is needed, and it always has to be put to the test. You may feel like you have strong faith, but when you find yourself in the midst of a crisis, it changes you. And I've witnessed this many, many times. I've seen people go through some trial and trouble in their life, and suddenly everything is different in their life. They become more serious about life. They become more serious about the circumstances that they are in, and they recognize that they are in need of help from the Lord. Sometimes we ask, Lord, why have you not come and taken care of this problem? Some of you prayed for those that are sick for a long time and you haven't witnessed their healing, and it seems like that they just are going on in this circumstance. And so we want to say, Lord, how long will we pray and you not come and rescue us in the circumstance that we are in. But oftentimes, God's delays are a test of our faith. They are a trying of our faith. And it's as we walk down this dark pathway, we come into a new understanding of who God is. We come into a new understanding of His plan for our lives and what it means to trust Him, even when we don't know what's going to happen or how that it could ever be resolved. How many of you have asked the question, Lord, how long am I going to have to pray about this before you come and change the situation? Some of you have prayed for lost loved ones, family members, maybe sons or daughters, and you've been praying for them for not months or weeks, but years and years you have prayed for them. And you're waiting and you're asking the question, Lord, how long? How long? That's one of the questions. Another question that he asks is in verse number three, where he says, why dost thou show me iniquity? He asked the question, why? His first question was, Lord, are you ever going to show up and solve this problem? Are you ever going to move? I've been praying and praying and seeking your face about this thing. Lord, are you not going to move in this situation? How long? And then we ask, Lord, why? Why is it like it is? Why does it have to be? Why do we have to be in this present circumstance that we're in? Why do we have to be facing this? Why, Lord? I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have to go through this. And you can evaluate it from one end to the other and not really be able to fully understand all the reasons why. And that's where faith comes in. Amen. That's where faith comes in, where you trust the Lord. Another question that he asked, and it's in verse number 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? He's actually asking the question, are you really God? Are you really the God that has promised to answer prayer? Are you really the God that has promised to rescue us or to heal us or to move in our situation? I think most Christians, if you're moving from faith to faith, you've gone through times like this where you don't understand. You're asking the Lord, why is this happening? You're asking the Lord, how long before you come and help me? And sometimes you even get to the point that you're saying, Lord, are you really out there? Are you really there? Do you really hear me when I pray? Well, you're in good company, because that's been a common thing. You remember that the psalmist David, he would in the same chapter be talking about, Lord, it seems like you're a million miles from me. Where are you, Lord? And then in just a few verses later, David is saying, Lord, it's like you encompass me. You're all around me. You're everywhere that I look. And he went through those different emotions where he wondered where God was, and then he would recognize the presence of God and the faithfulness of the Lord. That's the life of a Christian, and that's the life of faith to faith. And the just shall live by faith. Amen. That's how we live. We live. And you really get a hold of this when you understand the name Habakkuk. I've mentioned before, and actually when we preached from Habakkuk chapter 3 about a month ago, we mentioned that his name meant embrace. But when you look into that definition, it really, it's a lot stronger than just to give someone a hug. The word embrace, it there literally means to hold on to something, to get a grip on something, and to hold on with all of your strength and all of your might. And so Habakkuk is in a circumstance where it looks like judgment is coming. It looks like he can do nothing about it. His prayers aren't working. God is delaying his answer. And it seems like God is a million miles away. And that's when Habakkuk says, I'm going to hold on to God. I'm just going to hold on. He says, this is from the text today. I will stand upon my watch. I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to stay in that position of duty and responsibility. I'm going to stay right there in that place that God has put me in.
I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he shall say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved.
And what was he saying? He said, I'm going to be faithful to my place of duty, and I'm just going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on God, no matter how long it takes. Faith says, I'm going to trust God even when it does not work out in my time frame. I'm going to trust God even when nothing, no answers are coming, when no solutions are coming, when there's no victories coming. I'm going to stay in that place of duty and responsibility, and I'm going to wait for God to move. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we've been called to do. The just shall live by faith, and our faith is put to the test many times by the fact that we can't see God's hand, we can't see God moving, we don't see him answering prayer, we don't even know if we can't even sense his presence around us sometimes. But we stay in the place of responsibility and duty, and we just say, Lord, I'm going to wait here on you. I'm going to do what his name means. I'm going to hold on with all of my might. Amen. I'm going to hold on to the promises of God, and I'm going to believe you. You know, waiting is not a very pleasant thing, is it? Waiting, and I have a lot of difficulty with this. I don't like waiting rooms in doctor's offices or any office for that matter. Wears me out, makes me aggravated. And usually I'm there to get my blood pressure checked and it's sky high by the time I get in there because I'm so aggravated because I've had to wait for an hour or an hour and a half. And, you know, I just get tired of it. I don't like to wait. And to be honest with you, I have that same attitude when it comes to the things of God. I want God to move in my way and do it my way. I want God, would you solve this problem, Lord, and get this situation taken care of. But the Lord is testing my faith, and he's testing your faith. Whether or not you're really going to hold on to God, or are you going to give up, or are you going to run away, or are you going to forsake the Lord who is your help. You know, a lot of people, if just before the answer comes, they give up. Just before God moves in their behalf, they come to the end of their patience and their faith in God. You know, some people are running away from God when they should be holding on to God. Some folks, they should be holding on with all of their might and have determined, I am not going to stop. I am not going to let go. Now, the real question, I think, that comes to mind is, Lord, why do you do it this way? Why do you put us to the test? Why do you work in our lives? Well, it's because it changes us. And it changes us for the better, doesn't it? It changes us for the better when we wait upon the Lord. Notice what he says in this verse. He says, I'm going to get in my place of duty. I'm going to watch to see what he's going to say unto me. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. And what he's saying, this is going to make a different kind of a prophet out of me. I'm going to talk different when I come through this experience. I'm going to look at my life and my circumstances different when I go through this trial. And what I shall answer when I am reproved, it's going to be different. I'm going to have a whole new understanding, a whole new ability to comprehend and to understand what God is doing in my life. Let me tell you, the test of your faith, the just shall live by faith. And if you lose your faith, then you're gonna fail. You're not going to be able to continue. You're not going to continue to grow in the things of the Lord. And oftentimes the trial that you're in, and you're thinking, Lord, if you just change this person, change their heart, help them to turn from the direction that they're following. And God is at work as you pray for that need or for that situation. But he's not only working in the heart of that individual, but he's working in you and in me too. He's working out in us, and he's teaching us. He's given us a whole new understanding, a whole new vision of what God wants to do and how that he is able to move. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. And he's just saying, listen, this vision is from the Lord, but God's got his own timing here. It's yet for an appointed time. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. How many people have given up on God and made decisions about their life thinking, well, I'm tired of waiting on the Lord. I'm going to do it my way. I'm tired of trusting the Lord. I'm just going to take my own pathway. But he described for him a new vision, a new understanding of God and the plan of God in his life, in the life of the nation of Judah. He said, at the end it shall speak. You're going to hear from God. You're going to hear his voice. And this vision is going to be real, and God's going to speak to you. Wait for it. Wait. Wait for it. God's going to speak. He's not going to lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. There's going to come an end to this time of your trusting him and your questioning and your worrying about the future and how that all these problems could ever be resolved and these needs can be taken care of. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Trust the Lord. Believe that God is faithful. The just shall live by faith. And if you can't fall back. You can't lose sight of the fact that his word is true and dependable. And you need to put your trust in him today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I don't like delays any more than you do. But these delays help us many times. They do a work in us. It helps us to understand a little bit more about who God is. It helps us to see clearly the path that he wants us to follow. As we wait and trust the Lord, we begin to see his hand in ways that we have never seen him before. It's a whole new understanding, a whole new revelation of who he is and how that he's at work in our life. The psalmist said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. What? How could that be possible? It's good for you to be put to the test. God knows what he's doing. You don't. It was good for me to be afflicted. It was good for me to go through that trial and to ask questions and to wonder where God was at. It was a good thing, the psalmist said, for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. As I've already said, when we go through these afflictions and these trying times, we become very serious. Now, I've known Roy Collett a long, long time, and he's serious about the things of the Lord. But this morning, he was very serious. He's concerned. Something has come up in his life. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know if it's something real serious or not. He's concerned. And so we had our own little prayer meeting in here this morning. He was serious. He was fervent about it. When you're going through a trying circumstance, it causes you to be more serious about the things of God. Amen. Amen. And something else about waiting on the Lord and going through trying, testing times is all the things of this world, they lose their attraction because your focus, it becomes so upon God and upon the things of the Lord that you recognize, Lord, it's me and you, and that's all I've got. I don't have anything else. I'm holding on to you, Lord. And all these possessions and all of these things of this world, they really don't matter because they can't resolve my situation. Lord, I just need you. So it causes you to turn from that attachment to of the things of this world. It causes you to become more serious about the things of the Lord and to put your complete faith and trust in God. Amen. When you're going through these times of testing, God, not only does he want to do a work in you, but he wants to cause you to be able to have a message that can be declared, write it plain on the tablet so that he that runs with it can read it so it becomes obvious to everyone around you. God is writing a new chapter in my life. God is doing something in my life. I don't understand it. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I'm living every day by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's our survival. And we go from faith to faith, and it's those in-between times that often are so difficult. when we don't understand, Lord, what are you doing? And what does this mean? And why haven't you rescued me? And why aren't you moving in my life and in this situation that I'm in? You start off in faith in your walk with the Lord. And then you go from faith to faith to faith to faith. And in between, there might be trials. There might be tests. There might be burdens. There might be trouble and problems. All of these things outside of your power and control. But that's when you do, like Habakkuk's name describes, you hold on to the Lord. You hold on to the Lord. Amen. That's where we are right now in the United States of America, with all the crisis and all the changes that are taking place almost overnight in our country. We had better hold on to the Lord. We better get a hold of God and not let go. Get a hold of the promises of God. You see, Habakkuk, he had a new covenant kind of a faith and a confidence, because God was through this terrible trial of the judgment that was coming upon Judah and all that he was seeing take place. God was also doing a work in the remnant and in this prophet of God. It's interesting that we often read verse 5 of chapter 1. It says, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. We usually quote that verse and make reference to that verse, describing the wonderful things that God will do if you'll just hold on to God. But that's not what the verse is talking about. When you read that chapter, you'll see that the wondrous, the amazing, horrible things that God is describing there is all of this judgment. The Chaldeans are coming, and the terrible and the dreadful judgment that's going to come. And read through chapter 1, and you'll see that this is all of these wonders that are being performed are trials and great challenges and judgments that's coming upon people because of their wickedness, horribleness. The only way that you live in times of great trial, the only way you survive in a culture like we live in today that's anti-God and anti-Bible, is you get a hold of God and you hold on. You get a hold of the promises of God and you hold on with all of your might. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The proud and the arrogant, that person is going to fall and fail. But the person who's going to be able to survive in terrible times like this, that's the just, who are trusting God and putting their faith in the Lord. In these three chapters, you really see in chapter 1 the terrible dilemma, the problem. In chapter 2, you see the solution, that is a life of faith holding on to God. And then in chapter 3, you see the prayer being answered and how that God comes and revives the work in the midst of the years. Praise God. Amen. Right in the middle of all that mess, that God has come. God comes and he shows himself strong. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 12, you can kind of get a little insight into the faith that he has, that even in the middle of all that's going bad, notice a little phrase there in the middle of that verse. Habakkuk 1 and 12, he said, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? It's the question. Lord, are you really the God? Are you out there? Are you the God that I have trusted in? Then there's that little phrase right there that says, we shall not die. Amen. I underlined it. I made it bold. Because in the middle of that verse where he's saying, Lord, where are you at? Are you God? Then he says, it's inspired. It's a word of faith. It's inspired. He says, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. That's what's going to happen to those who persist in their sin and their rebellion and against God. But right in the middle of all that, he's saying, by faith, we're not going to die. We're going to survive this. We're going to make it. We're going to survive. We're going to hold on to the Lord with all of our mind. Let me tell you, if you're praying for that lost or wayward loved one, don't give up. Hold on. Amen. You very well may be their only hope, their only link. You're the one that's the intercessor, that's praying for them and believing God for them. You can't give up. You're praying about other needs, physical needs that you have that have gone on and on for a long time. Do not give up. And church, don't give up praying for those that are around us that we're concerned about and their physical needs or family needs, marriage problems, whatever that the circumstances are that you're praying about. Understand the importance of your prayer of faith and hold on to the Lord. Amen. The Old Testament phrase is, get a hold of the horns of the altar. Get a hold of it. Don't let go. Just get a hold of God. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to believe God to move. Amen. Now, if this prophet could speak that kind of word of faith in the midst of the worst possible circumstances, it had to be faith coming up out of the midst of all that trouble. An expression of his faith. He got a hold of the promise of God. He believed God in the midst of all of that. He trusted the Lord. And that phrase came from him and then is quoted by these New Testament writers. The just shall live by faith. He's just saying, if we're going to survive, we're going to have to hold on to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I just want to encourage you today. Those of you that you've waited and waited and you've questioned God and you don't understand what's going on, how God is working or what he's doing, and it's been a long time coming. Put your confidence in the Lord today. Amen. Get a hold of it and never, ever, ever let go. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the promise of your word. We thank you, Lord, that your promises are yea and amen. And we can trust you and we put our hope in you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know, Lord, that the prayer of faith will make a difference. The prayer of faith will change lives. Will bring healing to the sick. Will bring hope to the sinner. Oh, Lord, the prayer of faith, the person who lives their life every day in that New Testament covenant, Lord, that the just shall live by faith. It's not by our own works. It's not by our own strength, our own ability. It's only, Lord, as we lay hold of the promises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.